great opportunity afforded by the leadership of this congregation and the membership. And we are thankful that we have the opportunity to declare the good news, the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I know that you're going through a transition, and we all go through transitions from time to time. And we pray that those transitions that we are making in life will be very advantageous, especially towards the furtherance of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're so thankful for the beautiful singing that Brother Spicer brought to us tonight, especially that last song, Faith is the Victory. We'll be talking a little bit about that tonight. And also, we are certainly thankful for the beautiful prayer that Brother Heist lifted up to God on our behalf. I think about the things that he said, and I am humbled that he would say to God, thank you for having one that would stand in the pulpit in times like these. It's very difficult to stand in the pulpit for such a long time, but with the blessings of God, he's allowed my wife and myself to minister in the vineyard of the Lord. And for that, we're very, very grateful. Tonight, I'd like for you to turn your attention to the book of Genesis, chapter 22. And if there's one that's outside the ark of safety who would like to rededicate their life to Jesus, we'd like for you to do that. If there's one who would like to come and ask for prayer, we would like for you to do that. And if there's one who would like to place membership right here at Fairview Church of Christ, please be willing to do so. Rededicate your life, ask for prayer, be buried with them in baptism for the remission of sins. Come and place membership. God is open for every one of us to be obedient to his word and to someday make heaven our home. In the book of Genesis, chapter 22, starting at verse number 1, the Bible gives us a great example of faith. And I want to talk to you on the subject tonight. What is your response when your faith is tested? What is your response when your faith is tested? I believe that our faith is being tested right now to an nth degree with this COVID-19. So many of us are having a great difficulty in making decisions in regards to COVID-19. Some want to worship virtually, and others would like to worship in person. When do we return to worship is a question. A question that's being asked by numerous Christians. I thought the word virtual was meaning something that was out there in space, that was floating around, and that if I could comprehend it, maybe I could define it or understand it. I thought that Zoom was me moving real fast. I had no idea what Zoom meant and what virtual meant to the degree that it does now with COVID-19. Some wear a mask and some wear a double mask and some don't wear a mask at all. And I'm not politically indicating which is right and which is wrong. I'm just asking the question, what's your response when your faith is tested? Some people have taken a shot. Some people have not taken a shot. Some have taken the Moderna, the Pfizer, or the Johnson. Some have taken a booster because they said we needed 3 shots. And some haven't taken any shots at all. Some are taking pills and other types of medication to help build the body and to help the body to be strong against this pandemic that we have, against this terrible virus, COVID-19. Some individuals right now are saying, well, I like the Pfizer, I like the Moderna, I like the Johnson. I felt a little guilty when I received the booster and my wife could not, because she had Moderna and I had Pfizer, and they put Pfizer out first before they put Moderna out. And I was hesitant to even take the first shot, because I said, if I take the first shot and she can't get the first shot, what's going to happen if she gets sick and I don't? So it was worrisome to me. What is your response when your faith is tested? Some individuals are saying that the whole thing is a hoax. And other individuals are saying, I'm immune because I've had COVID-19. So, like I say, I'm not going to politically tell you what to do, because a lot of times we have to go to the Word of God to find out what's right and what's wrong. And when we go to the Word of God, we immediately find the Lord intervening and helping us to remain on this time side of life and to make positive decisions that help us not so much to live on this earth for so long, but to die and make heaven our home. I don't know how long I have on this time side of life, but I do know that if I die in the Lord, I will live eternally with the Master. Revelation 21, no more death. Revelation 21, no more pain, no more crying. The former things are all passed away. I know that if I stay in the Lord, there's something better for me on the other side than on this side. When I look at the potholes and think about the different potholes that I've hit and think about the different troubles that I've had, the flats and the times I've had to go to the mechanic to have the car repaired because it was out of line, it was this way and that way. Somebody said the streets of gold are figurative. They're not really streets of gold. I don't care. I bet you there won't be any potholes up there in heaven. And I'm so happy to be on that street of gold. I'm so happy to look forward to walk through those pearly gates. I'm so happy, if it's all figurative, just to be up there with one who is definite, and that's God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. I'm happy to know that I have that opportunity. So, what happens when your faith is tested? What is your response? Let's look at the scripture that was beautifully read into our hearing. Genesis chapter 22 and verse number 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. Okay, God tested Abraham's faith. Our faith is tested sometimes when our family becomes dysfunctional. Somebody has said that when you have your children, you sit down, you put them on your knee, and you rock them. And you just bounce them up and down, and you just shake your knee from side to side. But then when they grow up, you fall on your knee. And you ask God to help you deal with them, especially in those teen years. And especially when they start driving that car, amen? Because you don't know what they're going to do. I have a colleague who bragged, well, I can't say brag, but she bragged so much about her grandson and how he was getting a scholarship to this college. And how he was doing well in this sport and that sport. Well, she never says anything bad about her grandson, but the other day she had to confess that he got a speeding ticket. And we had to go to court, and we had to deal with that speeding ticket. And his mama's a lawyer, and she was very happy that he got that ticket because it was going to make him slow down. So, we are tested on every hand. We are tested when we have a job and when we go out and we spend money to get a house, or we spend money to get a car. We spend money to get some clothes, and we spend money to get the groceries and all of that in the house. And then all of a sudden we lose our jobs. We end up on welfare. We end up on food stamps. We end up going through this and going through that. What do you do when your faith is tested? Oh, I've been to the doctor not too long ago. The doctor said, you're well. You're doing great. Everything came back normal. And then sometimes I get up in the morning and I say, come on, leg, move. And the doctor said, you're okay. What is wrong with you? How come you won't move? And the head gets to spinning sometimes. And I say, what is wrong with you? Didn't you hear the report of the doctor? You are well. And then all of a sudden the test comes back and you've got some dreaded disease, cancer, or this or that. What do you do when your faith is tested? What is your response? The Bible told Abraham, Abraham, listen to me. Abraham says, God, here I am. Here I am. I'm replying yes to you. And God says, I'm testing your faith. Look at Genesis 22 and verse number 2. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah, that's right there in Jerusalem. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will show you. Take your only son and sacrifice him where I tell you to go as a burnt offering. If you look at this and really examine it, take your only son. We can look forward into the New Testament and see that this was figurative of Jesus. And God said in John 3:16, he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So we look back in order to look forward to understand this passage. And I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, because sometimes they get off with the New Living Translation, but I'm listening to the words and they're just making so much sense to me in this particular chapter. In verse number 3, the next morning, Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him, verse number 3, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood for a fire for a burnt offering, set out for the place of God where he told him about. On the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Stay here with the donkey, Abraham told the servants. The boy and I will travel a little further, and we will worship there, and then we will come right back. We will come right back. If you were marking in your Bible, like I like to do, just underline that. We shall come right back. Well, that's a lot of faith. And he already knew that God told him to go sacrifice his only son. And there's only two of them headed to the mountain. It's only Abram and Isaac. So we know that the Bible is telling me that this word we means more than one is going to head back. But we might see that a little bit later on. Now think about what went on that night. Boy, I'm telling you the truth. Can you just imagine his night and what it was like? I remember Sarah being barren, Abraham probably said at night as he tossed and turned. Bible doesn't tell us what happened to Abraham at night, but the Bible says that he got up early. And sometimes we rise early when our faith is tested. We don't sleep well at night. When our son would stay out later than we told him to stay out. When our daughters would stay out later than we told them to stay out. I did not sleep well until they came in. I don't care how many minutes it was past the hour. I did not sleep after that hour until they came in. Now, son likes music, so he and the preacher's son up the street would come in and their music would be real loud. And when I heard that music, I was so thankful to God. That's him. He's here. They're here. I thank God for that. You don't sleep too well at night when your faith is tested. I can think Abraham was saying, I remember Sarah was barren. And I remember Sarah giving me her handmaiden, Hagar. And I can remember that I slept with her. And I can remember that we had a child whose name was Ishmael. And I remember this caused a lot of dysfunction in our family. I should have been patient and I should have trusted God more. I should not have taken the handmaiden. I should have just waited on the Lord. And then in due time, look at what the Lord did for me. He gave me Isaac. We have a lot of people who are doing some things when their faith is tested that they have no business doing. When you have a girlfriend, a young lady that you've been with for quite a while and you really love that young lady, or vice versa, you have this young man you've been with for a long time and you really love this young man. And you say, I want to marry her, but I'm not real positive that the marriage is going to work out. So we need to live together for a while to see if the marriage is going to work out. Well, that violates Hebrews 13 and 4. Marriage is honorable in the Lord, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Fornication is a sin. But more and more, the people that I'm counseling on marriage have said, I need to live with her for a while. I need to live with him for a while to see if we can get along for a long time. No, you don't. All you need to do is to get with somebody who's been married 60 or 70 years and ask them what the secret is. Amen. And they'll help you to learn how. No, you can read the Word of God and learn how to get together and live together till death do you part. But there are scriptures in the Bible that let us know that our faith is tested sometimes. And when our faith is tested, our response has to be in line with the Word of God. God told me that marriage is honorable. I don't need to do this because society says I need to do it. My faith is being tested when I say I do and I get married. And my faith continues to be tested. Her faith continues to be tested as we continue in marriage. Sarah and I had a baby in our old age as God promised. I'm sure Abraham was toying with that at night. Genesis 17, 1 through 6. Go with me there for just a minute. Genesis chapter 17 and the verses are 1 through 6. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai, or Shaddai, God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live blameless. A blameless life. I will make a covenant with you by which I will guarantee to give you countless descendants. I am God Almighty. At this, Abram fell face down on the ground. And then God said to him, this is my covenant with your, and I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. This is my covenant with you. What's more, I am changing your name. It will no longer be Abram. Instead, you will be called Abraham, for you will be the father of many nations. I will make you extremely fruitful. Your descendants will become many nations, and kings will be among them. I'm sure that in Genesis chapter 22, as time moved along, that Abram is thinking about all these things that God said, and I believe he's saying in his mind, God must be getting ready to do something powerful. He must be testing my faith, because he said this is what's going to happen. Abram's name was changed, and Sarah's name was changed, or Sarai's name was changed to Sarah. Genesis 17:15. Sarah was a Hebrew. Hagar was an Egyptian. I'm sure that Abraham was thinking all night long. He must have remembered, I was 100 years old when Isaac was born, and Sarah was 90 years of age. We had more children as God had promised. And Abraham was the first of the patriarchs, followed by Isaac and then Jacob. And a patriarch is just simply a male head of the family. I'm sure that Abraham was thinking about all of this in the night when God told him, I want you to travel a little bit further, and I want you to sacrifice your only son. We have one son, and I cannot imagine killing my son. I heard about a number of persons who have had conflicts with their children, with their sons, and ended up killing them. Some of the entertainers, if I could call their names, killed their sons over conflicts, but they didn't want to do that. So I'm sure Abraham was thinking about all of this when God told him, sacrifice your only son. Let's go to Genesis chapter 22. He got up early. Then the Bible says in verse number 3, chopped wood for a fire, for a burnt offering. Set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up, saw the place in the distance. Stay here with the donkey, he told his servants. The boy and I will travel a little further. We'll worship there, and then we will come right back. So Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders. And while he himself carried the fire and the knife, the two of them walked on together. Isaac turned to Abraham and said, Father. Abraham said, yes, my son. We have the fire, we have the wood. The boy said, but where is the sheep for the burnt offering? Where is the sheep for the burnt offering? When our faith is tested, our response sometimes is, why me, Lord? Why are you putting me through this? Why can't somebody else be put through this? Why am I having this pain? Why am I sick? Why am I in the hospital? Why are these bills mounting up? Why have I lost my job? Why have I lost my mate? Why me, Lord? Why me? When our faith is tested, our response sometimes may be the wrong response. Why did you steal because I was hungry. Why did you do this? Why did you do that? Because. Sometimes we seek to justify our actions, and sometimes our actions don't mount up to the love and to the word of God. And that's when we get into trouble. Where is the sacrifice? Genesis 22 and 8. You can underline that. God will provide. When we are tested in our faith, always remember, God will provide. And he's not going to provide immediately when we want him to provide. God, look, I asked you last month to do this, and you haven't done it yet. God, I ask you over and over again, and I've been praying over and over again, and you still haven't answered me. God's time is not our time. God doesn't move like we want him to move. His will must be done on earth as it is in heaven. And when our faith is tested, our response ought to be, God will provide. Look at verse number 9. When they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar, arranged the wood on it. Then he tied his son Isaac, laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Yes, Abraham replied, here I am. Don't lay a hand on the boy, the angel said. Do not hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son. Don't lay a hand on Isaac. Don't you touch him. I know that what you are about to do is proof that you have faith in me. And then he goes on to say, well, this is what I'm going to do. Genesis chapter 22, verses 13 through 18. Don't lay a hand on the boy, the angel said. Do not hurt him in any way, for I now know you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son. Then Abraham looked up, saw a ram caught by its horns in the thicket. So he took the ram, the Bible says, and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham named the place Yahweh, which means the Lord will provide. To this day, people still use that name as a proverb on the mountain of the Lord. And we call it Jehovah Jireh, which means God will provide. Then the angel of the Lord called again to Abraham from heaven. This is what the Lord says, because you have obeyed me and have not withheld even your own son. I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies. And through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. All because you have obeyed me. Sacrifice your only son. And when you do that, it will show your love for me. God so loved the world when he sacrificed his only begotten son. his one and only son, he showed every one of us that he loves us. Despite the sins that we have committed, despite the wrongs that sometimes come up in our minds. Somebody says, oh, Brother Crowder, wrong doesn't come up in my mind. Well, let's go back here. Let me take a hammer and hit your thumb. And I think a word might be on your mind, even if it doesn't come out. Amen. Because we are so prone to hear so much filth all around us that when our faith is tested, our response sometimes doesn't quite line up with the word of God. Ouch! Come ouch! And I think something as simple as that, just to show you how difficult it is sometimes to stay in line with the word of God. And I've heard so many people say to me, oh, Brother Crowder, I know what I would do if so-and-so happened. I know what my response would be. All those people who were lined up and they were killed because they were Christians over there in the Middle East. We saw them in line and they said all they had to do was confess Muhammad and they were not going to be killed. But they were killed. I know what I would have done. I don't know what I would have done. I don't know. If I traveled to the Middle East and I got captured by the enemy and they said, you will not go back and see your wife. You will not go back and see your children. You will not go back and see your grandchildren. You will not go back and see your nieces, your nephews, your cousins. You're not going back to see anybody. This is it. Either you say you believe this or you confess this or I'm going to chop your head off. I know what I would do. No, you don't. When your faith is tested, what will be your response? Oh, I just die for the Lord right there. I don't know. I don't know whether I would die for the Lord right there. I don't know. I really don't know. And I pray to God I'm never tested that way. I pray to God that I'm never tested in a way that I have to respond in a response that is inappropriate. I tell people sometimes, I say, and this is what I tell young people at school when I'm dealing with them with their conduct that's out of order. I say, if I walk up to you, and I hit you on your shoulder like that, and your response is to hit me in my nose and bust it, hit me in my lip and knock my teeth out, give me a black eye, give me some type of a problem where I have to run to the hospital. You're giving me a concussion, and you say that was an appropriate response? To me, hitting on your shoulder? I tell them, your response has to be in line with what was done to you. And many times before a fight occurs, there's a bunch of words. When I was in the office at the schools that I worked in, I would be working on a laptop or on a computer from time to time, putting some important information in. The bell would ring and the students would go through the halls. And I told them my ear was so tuned that I knew good news, good noise, bad news, and bad noise. When I heard people start with bad noise, I knew that bad news was coming. A fight was about to happen. I jump up and run out that door and try to deal with those children. Wait a minute. Stop. We're not going to have a fight. It was bad noise. Your response to words sometimes can get you in a situation of where you can lose your life or kill somebody else over words. Somebody says, well, words don't hurt. Yeah, words hurt. Words hurt. But they don't physically hurt you like a lick would unless you let it hurt you like that. Your response ought to be in line with somebody arguing with you or fussing with you. Your response ought to be in line with what the Bible says that Abraham did through the lines of Isaac and Jacob and Judah and David. Jesus Christ came. Nations were blessed through Abraham. I will multiply your descendants. If Isaac died, the Bible says God would bring him back. Go with me to Hebrews, and you'll see that Abraham is mentioned in the hall of faith. I want you to listen to this in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 17. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. Hebrews 11 and 18. Even though God had told him, Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted, Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. In a sense. You know he didn't really die. But remember, God promised Abraham that through Isaac and through his descendants, nations would be blessed. He said, I'm going to open Sarah's womb. She's going to have more children. You're going to have blessings and blessings and descendants of that's more than the stars in heaven. Everything's going to be all right. So Abraham said that if God allows Isaac to die, God can bring him back if he wants to. And I believe he will, because he's promised all of this. Wow. Isn't that fantastic? Now, we know that if we die, we're not coming back to this earth again. But God has promised us that if we hear his word, if we believe his word, if we repent of our sins, if we confess Christ to be the Son of God, and if we are buried with him in baptism and rise, Romans 6 and 4, and walk in the newness of life, he says that I will add you to my church, Acts 2:47. The church that I built, Matthew 16, 13 through 19. Heaven will be your home if you're obedient. I promise you this. If you die, you will live again. If Isaac dies and is sacrificed, he will live again. Why? He'll bring him back from the dead. Why, Abraham, do you have that kind of faith? Because God promised that through my son Isaac, this was going to happen and that was going to happen. And I believe God is going to do what he says he's going to do. Because in the past, before time and before creation and before anything, he had Jesus chosen as our propitiation for our sins, our go-between. And in times like these, he has justified us. He has allowed us to be just as if we haven't sinned when we are obedient to the word of God. And then finally, in the end, when everything is over, we'll have a glorified body, 1 Corinthians 15, where we won't have any blood, where we won't have any flesh, where it'll all be spiritual. And we can live with him forever and ever and ever. So if we die, God will help us to live again. Abraham had such powerful faith that his response was appropriate. God will do what he says he's going to do. If you want to come to the Lord right now, we encourage you to do so. We encourage you to be obedient. May God bless you. May God keep you as we stand and sing the song of invitation.